You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, challenge match. So I think it was like a month ago, I was reading that some people wanted to cancel white European composers like Beethoven and Mozart and things like that. I'm not going to express an opinion on that other than I think that's ridiculous. No matter, you know, what someone's, you know, skin color is, of course, should have nothing to do with whether you listen to their music. But a lot of people then use this as a way of saying these are the only types of musicians people should listen to. And I do think the best bands out there, you know, and let's look at the most famous, the Beatles, is they are just as talented and skilled as any famous composer. People might agree or disagree, but also it's like comparing apples and oranges. Can you really compare them to Beethoven? Can you compare Beethoven to them? It's different styles. But I started watching a bunch of videos, and I recommend people watch them. The Beatles do use a lot of music theory. Robin and I were talking about this, and we decided on this challenge, and we invite all the listeners to join in. Jay compiled, for 10 songs, maybe a few more, 3-second clips of 10 or a dozen Beatles songs. We're going to all listen to 3 seconds of these pretty famous Beatles songs, and then I'll wait a few seconds, and so you have time to think, and Robin and I will guess the answers, and we'll see how many we get correct. Is that right, Jay? Am I describing this correctly?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, that's totally how it's going to be. And I have to say, you know, I was born way after Beatles time, so I myself was found like a great Beatles songs that I never heard about and I never knew about.
Well, we all kind of were born like, you know, the Beatles, they were basically around until 1970. I mean, they broke up a little before then, but their final album came out, I think, in 1970. And that was after the band had ended. And so all of us became aware of music after the Beatles disbanded. But, you know, let me see how many albums altogether have the Beatles sold? The Beatles sold 600 million albums.
Oh, my God.
And the group, okay, here's some other things. The group once held the top 5 spots on the Billboard 100 in April 1964. Nobody else has ever done that in the U.S. They made $25 million in earnings that year, which translates today to almost $188 million. And this is always an interesting thing people don't really know about the Beatles. But, you know, the name of their record label that they formed was called Apple. And so they always had a deal with Apple. Apple should stay out of the music business. And of course, the Beatles record label should stay out of the computer business. Now, even though the Beatles disbanded, they still had ownership of this, the label that kept putting out their music. And so when Apple did get into music with the iPod, they had to kind of settle over this. So I forgot what the settlement was, but...
Right. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Michael Jackson bought Beatles catalog, right?
Right, Michael Jackson bought the Beatles catalog. In fact, the Beatles, I don't think they ever really owned their catalog. So I think, gosh, I forget the name of their manager. Maybe it was Brian Epstein.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
He kind of, and I don't want to say this for sure if it's not him, but some manager of theirs, and we think it's Brian Epstein, stole through contractually, like they signed a contract, they didn't know what they were signing, and he stole the rights to all their songs. So I don't know if the Beatles ever really owned the rights to their, at least their early songs. And it's the same with the Rolling Stones. I think the Rolling Stones had the same manager. They sold off the rights to their early songs before they really made any money from it. And then the Rolling Stones in particular, they tour every year. They make about $600 million every time they tour. So what they do is at the beginning of the year, they form a company, they go on the tour, and then they divide up the money among the original Stones or whoever the Rolling Stones are, you know, like whoever's on the tour. And then they dissolve the company, and they do that for every tour. So they make an enormous amount of money
every time
they tour. But
they still have to pay royalties to whoever owns the music, right?
That's a good question. I wonder if they have to pay. I guess they do, right?
Mm-hmm. So
they
what have do to you say, mean?
What if somebody says, oh, we're not letting... What if Michael Jackson said, oh, I'm not letting you sing your own songs? I don't know if he...
Well, they're making
that.
Money, so why would they say don't do that?
Well, I think the copyrights on music is a little bit complicated in the sense that, like, let's say if I write a song... And then some label buy my song out. Then I don't own that song anymore. I'm not the original.
Are you allowed to sing songs that you wrote, for instance?
Then you have to ask the label for the rights. Like you have to ask them, can I sing the song? And then every time you perform in like a ticketing situation,
especially
like
in public.
And then like however much money you get, you have to pay a percentage to the label. So you don't own the music. You only get the right for copywriting, for songwriting. So what you were asking, like, can artists perform their own song that wasn't owned by them? They can. They have to get permissions from the label.
And that's what ASCAP does. I think they manage that part of it.
So has there ever been like a group that broke up? Like, let's say Pink Floyd breaks up. Could they, you know, like Roger Waters went his own way. Could the band Pink Floyd say to Roger Waters, you're not allowed to perform, you know, Wish You Were Here or Dark Side of the Moon?
Yeah, they have to ask ask them for the permissions to perform.
Whoever owns
but
the
if
rights.
They do if they do it for free on a private event, then yeah, they can do it. Like as long as it's not broadcast.
Oh, I see. But so what if they do it for on a tour?
Yeah, they have to ask performance for it because they, you know, if they do it on a tour, people have to pay money to see it, and then they have to pay a percentage of the money to whoever they own the song.
I think if it's played publicly or sung publicly,
it's funny because there's also there's a tons of rights that I can't really remember. There's mechanics rights, that's you know play rights, and then there's a different rights. Like if the song is play publicly in a shopping mall or whatever, it's whole different rights that go into a different percentage. That's why like the whole music industry is so complicated. I think right now Paul McCartney owns most of the rights now.
Oh, he bought
them? I saw the article say Paul McCartney finally regains Beatles rights after a near 50 year long.
Wow. So he probably bought it from the Jackson family's
Sony, I think.
Oh, Sony?
Oh yeah, because the Jackson family, I think they either sold them to Sony or they borrowed money. So Sony bought part of them. Michael Jackson was always selling off some of the rights to these different things because he needed the money. But he was a good investor. Like, I don't know what he bought the rights for, but he made like a ton of money on them.
I think he bought the rights for like $47.5 million.
And how much money did... Alan Klein was the manager of the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, and he's the one who got them to sign away the rights to all their songs.
Right. Never believe in someone named Alan, you know.
Is this an anti-Semitic thing?
No.
Well, Klein, Epstein, they're all probably, anyway, I'm Jewish, so I don't want to ruin my chances to sign the next Beatles by saying anything here. How much did Michael Jackson pay for the Beatles?
$47.5 million in 1985.
Wow.
Wait.
Yeah,
no,
47
no,
million. Outbidding Paul McCartney. I wonder why Paul McCartney didn't just say, okay, I'll pay 50 million. Because apparently Paul McCartney was really upset that Michael Jackson got it.
Maybe he might not have enough money. Or maybe he just like, I'm not willing to pay as much.
The entire reason Michael Jackson was able to survive, he was to avoid bankruptcy, was because he made money on the Beatles catalog. Like the Beatles songs still keep selling. So, okay, let's... Robin, let's do the challenge. You ready?
Oh, okay.
You guys ready?
I'm not very good at this.
It's pretty easy. I think, because I did it myself, even though, you know, I'm the one to call pilot. Let's do it. We're going to play the first one, all right?
Okay, just say when.
Okay, so wait, just to explain. There are 3 seconds, and we'll play them for everybody listening. There are 3 seconds, then we'll pause a few seconds, like 5 seconds, and then we'll play the 3 seconds again, and we'll pause for 5 seconds, so you have a chance to guess if you're listening. And then Robin and I will guess, and then Jay will tell us the
answer. Try to guess.
Try to
guess. Okay, are you guys ready? Are you guys in front of whatever you guys are supposed to do?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go. Play the first one.
It's been a- okay, and now Jay, play it again.
All right. Ready? Let's play it again. It's been a- it's really easy. Come on, it's really easy. It's almost right there.
I think
you
made this one too easy. Robin, you guess
I have to.
Yeah, let me try. I think it's a hard day's work.
Hard day's night.
Hard day's night. I can't give it to you because you mess up one word.
No. But you know what? It's interesting. It's almost like you were thinking logically. Like, because it almost doesn't make sense. A hard day's night. Like that phrase almost doesn't make sense.
Do you know why they? I'm just curious. James, you know everything. Do you know why they name it a hard day's night?
I don't know. Do you know?
I don't know. I'm just curious. Like, because it's usually just a hard day works, right?
Yeah, you know.
Maybe because they were performing at night.
Yeah, that's the thing. So this was part of they did a lot of movies based around their albums, and they did a lot of movies based on their touring. A Hard Day's Night became a movie, and they have to like avoid all their fans or the hordes of fans who are you know, coming after them. And so, and a lot of this is at night. So it's a Hard Day's Night.
I knew that. I knew it was Hard Day's Night.
Did they did a movie about this? Like, is it a musical comedy?
Yeah, it's a musical comedy.
I didn't know they did.
It did $11 million at the box office, actually. It was released in 1964.
$11 million back then, if includes all the inflation, how much is going to be right now?
But probably like $80 million.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, and it probably, I don't know how much it cost them to make, but the budget, they made it for only $189,000.
Oh what?
Wow! Yeah.
They made like 10 times back.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
About that, like five and a half times back.
So, oh wow, interesting.
Yeah,
that's why it's a hard day's night.
So hard day's night. So congratulations if you got that first one. Jay, tell us when to do the second one.
You guys ready for the second one? Yeah. This is really easy too. This is really easy. That's no way you guys.
Easy.
Well, because like, you know, like so I was, when I'm making this, I'm like, maybe I should do 1 second first. But I felt like 1 second is going to be too hard for you guys. So I'm going to do 3 seconds. Okay. And give you mercy, you know, like I'm young, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's go.
Ugh.
This is pretty easy. Almost getting there. All right. Are you guys ready to listen again?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's play one more time.
Okay. I don't know.
Are you guys stumped on this?
No, I'm not. I
am. No, James is better at this than me.
I'm not better. I might have listened to them more. I don't know.
All right. Just for the listener that hasn't get it, this is the only songs that started out this way. Started out using this much orchestra in Beatles.
You know, a lot of their songs use orchestra.
Yeah, but it doesn't start with the whole orchestra.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I'm ready to guess. So, Robin, you want to guess first?
I don't know what it is.
Okay. All You Need Is Love.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's like good. Robin, when you listen to it, like at the end of the clip, it's like a people, like the almost a choir coming in. It's singing the words all.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're about to sing it.
I'm so bad at this.
No, it's okay. It's okay. You know what was interesting? So I played in my first chess tournament in 25 years a few weeks ago. We were practicing using YouTube videos on this Beatles challenge before I went to the tournament, and I was hardly getting any of them. After the tournament, I sharpened my brain up somehow, and I it became much easier for me to do even like 1 second I was guessing them. So, but okay, ready for the next one?
I just gonna say, like, I think this is just a trivia. This song was Flynn performing it at EMI Studios in London on my birthday.
Really?
Oh.
How do you know that?
Yeah, June 25th. Wikipedia? Who doesn't like Wikipedia?
Oh, yeah, there you go. So wait, is your birthday June 19th?
No, June 25th. It says June 25th.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Next one.
Are you guys ready for the third one? The third one, I think it's pretty easy, too. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's play it. All right.
It's a hard one,
Jay. You guys ready to do
hard.
One more time? Okay, let's play one more time.
Okay.
Let's go. That's a creature in the song that's in the title.
Blackbird?
Yes.
Oh.
I just guessed.
Do you hear the birds squeaking? If you want to play again, you can play again.
I heard the birds. As far as I know, that's the only song they've done that had bird in the title.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. If you listen to the track, I didn't research this yet, but when I listen to the song, the left side of the track is the metronome.
What do you mean?
Huh.
Like the metronome sound.
Okay. I didn't know
that. Yeah, that's what we use to, you know. So when you track, a lot of time when you record music, you have to play along the metronome so you can stay on time. So a lot of time people will just, you know, have the metronome in there. But it's kind of interesting that they...
And this is one of their latest songs, like later songs. This is from 1968.
Yeah. And it's funny because like I thought it was a metronome, but... According to their engineer, so the left side, you know, the tapping sound. According to the engineer Geoff Emmerich, he says it's actually the sound of Paul tapping his foot.
Huh.
Yeah. All right.
That's cool.
Interesting. Yeah.
It is very.
This was not one of my favorite. I never really knew this song.
I've never heard of this song.
Really?
All right. So I'm 3 out of 3 now. Let's see if I can go 10 out of 10.
Oh right. My God.
And I hope the listeners are trying this with us. So Jay, tell us when to do the fourth one.
All right. The next one is pretty easy too. I mean, I can do it. I did it pretty easy. So are you guys ready?
Yes.
Are you guys in front?
Ready.
All right. Let's play.
Oh, it's hard.
I know this one.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't remember the name of it.
All right. Let's play one more time.
Okay. One more time.
Give me love, or something like that.
Hold on,
man, so close, so close.
Hold on a second.
Something love.
Yeah, give me love.
Yes, that's what I said. Do they have a song called "Give Me Love"?
No, I don't know.
I don't think they have a song called "Give Me Love." But Robin, are you ready?
I'm ready. Yes.
It's called "Can't Buy Me Love."
Can't buy me love.
It's literally right after the solo.
Yes.
All right, let me see.
I was so close.
Yeah, see, that was pretty easy.
It's hard. This is hard stuff. 3 seconds. So, let me see.
Can't Buy Me Love. Is that a movie as well?
I don't know, but it is on the. This is on a Hard Day's Night, and it was featured in the movie, the film A Hard Day's Night.
Yep.
Okay, and it was released as a single in March of 1964. They topped the Billboard 100 chart for 5 weeks.
Nathan's going to have a field trip on this editing, to be honest. It's going to be like, how can they not guess?
Okay, let's do song number 5.
Song's number 5. Okay. Let's play one more time, right?
One more time.
Okay.
Let's play one more time.
Okay. I already know.
Okay.
I already know, Robin,
you can guess.
Let It Be?
Yep.
Yes.
Let It Be. Now, you know where this song comes from. Paul McCartney had a dream and he dreamt of his mother. And his mother had died in 1956. I forget what she died of, maybe cancer. Mm-hmm. And he was always... You know, he was very upset about it and he was missing her. And so he had this dream about her. And she says in the dream, everything's going to be okay. Just let it be. And so that's why he wrote this song.
Wow.
British always get dreams and then they sell a lot of stuff. It's like Harry Potter, right? J.K.
Yeah.
Rowling dream of Harry Potter.
They're all wizards in England. So
the dream of something.
It's an unfair advantage.
Yeah. I wonder if it's in their blood. Like Merlin just blast Arthur the king and then they're like, you guys all have this blood. And then they're all wizard. You know, Merlin the wizard.
Yeah, right. Ever since Merlin,
yeah,
people from England just have magical powers.
Yeah, they can drink beer like in 10 in the morning or something like that. That's like superpower.
That's another superpower. Yeah, I can't do that. Yeah. I don't even like beer.
Right. Me either.
All right. Are you guys ready for the number six?
Number six. Okay. Right. I think, what am I? Am I like...
I think you have... You
got them all except...
No.
I accept one.
I only have four.
I miss one.
Yeah, so it's 4 out of 5 and then Robin, it's 1 out of 5.
No. Well, yeah, she almost got one, but...
Yeah, she almost got one.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Let's play. A second time? You guys ready to play a second time?
Yeah.
Let's play a second time.
Okay, don't say. I want to guess. Hold on.
Oh, this is pretty easy.
Hold on.
Kim's like, I know. I just need some time.
Yes, I know what this is. Okay, Robin, you guess.
Of course you know what this is. I've heard the song. I just don't know the name of it.
Yeah, sometimes like you hear the words to the whole song, but I know this one... This one was an odd song for them, I think, because usually the title is in the song, but this one, I don't think the title is in the lyrics at all.
Yeah.
So this is a day in the life.
Is it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah, so right after the piano part, it's literally the I think the alarm clock goes off or something like that. Yep.
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, that's why I had a 5 seconds version for you guys to listen, but you know, we just do 3 seconds, you know, so easy and quick.
Yeah.
A day in the life, because he describes like his life.
Yep.
And then the I read the news today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade.
And this in the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts
Club fan
album.
Yep. Yeah, that's and you know, I think that's like the most famous album they've done, maybe.
It is. Yeah, because their most famous song is in the album title too. Huh.
Yeah. All right, well don't say anything just in case it's one of the things. But okay, we're on song number
seven. All right, this is really easy because there's no way for me to edit this that you wouldn't know what song is this.
Okay.
Because right. Like this song
you
is
said
so
that
repetitive.
About every single one when we haven't been getting it.
Oh, James, you got five out of six.
Oh yeah, 5 out of 6. Yeah.
All right. You guys ready for number 7?
Yeah.
All right, let's play.
Okay.
All right, let's chill for a couple seconds.
Yeah.
We're going to play one more time. This
okay,
is easy.
Robin, you can
James
guess this one.
Know, right?
You might, I mean, I know the song.
But you don't know the title. I never know this song's title for the longest time.
Okay, Robin, if you don't get this one, I'll give you a clue.
Okay, a clue.
Okay, it's like an ode for lonely people. Ode to the lonely people.
Lonely Heart Clubs fan.
No. It's about okay. I'll give you another clue. It's about a particular woman who is lonely.
Yeah, I think Robin knows the song.
I know the song.
You definitely know the song. It's one of their classic songs.
I'm not like Beatles weren't like part of my repertoire when I was growing up.
What?
So. I know. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Okay, Eleanor Rigby.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the song of the. That. Yeah, that because that's.
I mean,
the
I
name,
love their
right?
songs. I appreciate
but,
it more
but you
now.
Know, but you know that song though, right? Like
yes,
you've
I
heard
do.
That song.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, a lot of times people have First off, a couple interesting things about this song. This and I think Yesterday are the only songs they put out that did not. No Beatle plays an instrument on this song, so it's just
Oh,
it's
really?
Like a string ensemble. And so it's all studio musicians. There's no Beatle playing like a guitar or anything like that. And but McCartney didn't want to have too many strings because a lot of people made fun of Yesterday of being too like kind of sugary. Mm. So this has a little bit, there's like more staccato chords and it was just done a little bit in a little more interesting way. Another interesting thing about it is everybody who's ever named Eleanor Rigby, they always said, oh, the song was about me. But he's Paul McCartney claims he completely made up the name. Like, there's so no funny. Eleanor Rigby.
It's funny because so I was reading an article so that BBC does. You know, of course BBC is gonna do it because, you know, British. So apparently in a graveyard in Liverpool, in 1957, that John Lennon and Paul McCartney first met, just yards away lay the graves of a maid called Eleanor Rigby.
So you think maybe he could have seen that somehow? And like, it was like in his subconscious?
Maybe, but the song came out 9 years later.
Huh. Yeah, so they would be really buried in the subconscious. That's kind of funny. Yeah. I wonder if it's true.
Yeah, but who has the name? Like, I felt like it's such a, it's not a common name at all. If the song is called John Smith, I get it. Or Catherine Smith, I get it. But Eleanor Rigby, I felt like it's not a common name at all.
Well, you know, maybe they knew a Rigby somehow, and then an Eleanor might have been common back then. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
You know, Eleanor Rigby.
Eleanor was common back then, yeah.
Yeah, because Eleanor Roosevelt was the first lady for like 14 years or something in the United States, and she was very famous.
Jay wouldn't know that, though.
But maybe a lot of people named their daughters kidding. Eleanor then. I don't know.
I really don't know that. I didn't know Eleanor, but when you mentioned Roosevelt, I'm like, yeah, I know that guy
Eleanor
from
Roosevelt.
In the museum.
Okay, next song.
Okay.
Wait, all right, next song. Song's number 8. This is really easy.
Okay.
Again, oh my God. This is really easy. You say everyone is easy.
I know.
So, are you guys ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's play this song.
Okay.
Come on, this is easy. All right. Like, let's chill real quick. Okay. Let's play a second time.
You know, Jay, one time I was in sixth grade, so I was 12 years old, and the teachers asked a question. She said, does anyone know the answer? And I raised my hand and said, that one's easy. And then she said, well, then I'm not calling on you. Don't say it's easy because some people might be having a hard time with it. So she chastised me for saying it was easy.
Well, see, that's also a way to get away, you know? Like, oh yeah, that's easy. And then the teacher is just never going to call on you anymore.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. I should have.
She's going to give you a harder question.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
All right, let's play the second time. Yep. I'm going to give you a second. I'm sure you guys already guess it. Mm-hmm. Right? James, you already know it, right?
I know, yeah. Robin, do you
have I don't know. I'm just going to say, Here Comes the Sun or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It is. Here Comes the Sun.
Here Comes the Sun. And by the way, this is one of the only songs written by George Harrison. So.
Huh. Oh, really?
Yeah, this is like Here Comes the Sun. And then when he was so he wrote this for, I think it was like the Beatles' final album, Abbey Road. So he wrote Here Comes the Sun. And he started feeling like he was part of the right, you know, he always wanted to kind of break into the writing team of Lennon McCartney, and Here Comes the Sun gave him a lot of confidence. And then another great song by him was when he was solo was My Sweet Lord. And then I think this was with the Beatles, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. I think that was written by George Harrison.
God, they were all so talented. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Well, other than, what's the drummer's name?
Ringo Starr.
Ringo Starr, yeah. There's a famous meme, like everyone's writing a music and then Ringo is like, here's my music, please play. And then everyone else just take the music, stick it on the fridge. It's like, we're going to put it here. You know, one day we will come and revisit. That's like a famous meme for it.
Yeah, I don't know if he, I don't know of any song that he wrote for the Beatles.
I think he wrote just one song, I think. I could be wrong.
He probably wrote a couple, but they're not like famous songs.
Yeah, but just a very quick trivia. Abbey Road, the album, is the first true stereo album that Beatles did.
Wait, which album?
So Abbey Road.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Here Comes the Sun. Yeah, because, you know, like Beatles is in that era where everything is mono, which means only centro only. And then they did a couple experiments when the stereo technology came along. I'm sure you remember some music, it's like all the drums on the right-hand side. Mm. Or all the vocals on one side. So we wouldn't call that a true stereo. It is stereo, but it wasn't a true stereo because it's not complete mix.
I mean, this is the interesting thing. Like, they did a lot of experiments. Like, they were one of the first groups to do a concept album. Like, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was everything was kind of revolving around the same theme, this kind of tour through this psychedelic experience. And they were with I don't know about Abbey Road, but I know with Sgt. Pepper's, they were inspired by the Beach Boys album Pet Sounds, which was also one of the first concept albums. Like, they felt they actually felt very competitive with the Beach Boys, and the Beach Boys also felt competitive with them. So Pet Sounds was inspired by the Beatles' Rubber Soul. Wow. So,
yeah. Yeah, and I think they did also experiment on what I call the multi-track recording. So back then, that's not a lot. We can't record a lot of tracks. Maximum, you can only record four tracks, right? So what they do is they record four tracks, and then they bounce, they export the four tracks into one track or two tracks, mm-hmm. and then they record another four tracks on top of it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
How come you can only record four tracks?
That's the limit of the technology back then, because back then you're using tape, and then you can only record four maximum. So way back then, the way they record music into one track on vinyl is everyone has to play at the same time, and none of you guys can make any mistakes.
Wow.
And you know, yeah. it's interesting with Abbey Road. That's the one where they're all walking across the street, yeah. Abbey Road. And this was part of the conspiracy theory that Paul McCartney's dead because he's the only one with no shoes on.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's a symbol to it, right? Because like I think the first one is like the Reaper or whatever. That's why they dress a certain way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a meaning to according to the theory, you know. And also like they say like one of the tracks, like someone at the back yelling, Paul is dead, or something like that.
So
I used to be really into like the Beatles conspiracy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period, and I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs, and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like, to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours, and they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop, really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
All right, let's do the next song.
Yeah, songs number 9.
Number 9, okay, hold on.
Yeah, this is a very famous song.
Okay.
That's what you always say.
I'd say easy. Last I say easy, this is famous. All right, you guys ready to play Zero Nine
Beat? Yeah.
All right, let's play.
I like that song.
All right. I know the song.
All right, hold on.
Oh,
let's
of course. All right, but
let's play one more time.
Don't say anything. Okay. Yeah, play it again.
Yeah.
All right,
okay, I'm going to give
a
couple seconds.
Let the audience listen to it or think about it. And then, Robin, do you want to? Okay.
Yeah, you want to go?
Hey, Jude.
Yep.
Yep.
I got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I guess. This was a song that Paul McCartney sang for John Lennon's like baby son, Julian.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It would start off as Hey Jules and then it became Hey Jude.
Right. Do you remember we watched a movie called Yesterday?
Yeah. That was a great movie.
Yeah. And then so Ed Sheeran was in the movie as well. And then when they were recording this song, and Ed Sheeran is like, I don't know about Hey Jude. Sounded very old.
Oh,
he
yeah, that was
funny.
He wanted
to be Hey Dude.
Yeah, he wanted to call it Hey Dude. And then, but duty. Like, it was funny.
Yeah. Everyone should watch the movie. I think the movie was great.
Yeah, that was a great movie. Maybe I'll watch it again tonight.
Yeah.
All right. And the 10th song?
Yep, the 10th song. This is a very famous song as well. I think the way I cut it, you guys will know it right away. All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Let's play it. All right, chill.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's play it again. All right, Robin, do you know this?
No.
All right, James.
Yeah, I will guess that it is a long and winding road.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, it's because of the music literally.
And this was on the Let It Be album in 1970.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy how the way they wrote the music, because like the way the string plays almost felt like it's a long winding road too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like because there's a lot of like long notes and then a lot of up and down in the notes. It felt like you're going, it felt like the music's winding everywhere.
Yeah. That's so, good. You know, it's interesting because, you know, on the trailer for Get Back, I haven't seen the documentary yet. I don't know if it's out or not. But on the trailer for Get Back, which I guess they're recording this album, Let It Be album. They look like they're having fun, they're getting along, but by this point they had pretty much all broken up. So it's an interesting lesson that no matter what, when they were making music, they focused, they had fun, they got back into their groove always when they were making music, even though I think they pretty much all hated each other. Like George Harrison quit, then John Lennon quit, then Paul McCartney quit. And Lennon and McCartney were constantly, over the next decade, one would say, I wrote this song, he did nothing. The other would say, no, he did nothing. So they never really, after they broke up, they didn't really like each other. And but you see in the Get Back trailer, it's kind of a lesson in being an artist and being creative. You put all that BS, you know, you leave it out of the recording studio or out of the artist studio or whatever, and you focus on the art.
Yeah, I think I saw an interview on John Lennon. You know, I think the interviewer asked like if Beatles will ever get back together again, and then John Lennon was like, maybe, you know, if there's a new song or new project they will want to work and they get excited about, then they will get back to the studio again. So that sort of go and show like how much they get together just focusing on their craft and, you know, and the product and the music. It's not so much about, you know, like personal relationship anymore.
You know, it's interesting, like Long and Winding Road, Eleanor Rigby, like all these songs that Paul McCartney wrote are kind of sad.
It is.
He says, actually, it saves having to go to a psychiatrist.
Really? Mm-hmm. I think, I wonder if that's a way of him just
dealing
expressing
with everything
himself. Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, look at Let It Be. It's like, you know, the mom died and come to the... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know.
Eleanor Rigby. And,
well, that's what most of these people that write, a lot of their music comes from hardship and pain.
Yeah, I mean, most music are like that. That's why a lot of sad music. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're happy, you just doesn't want to write music. If you're happy,
you just want to go out and play. Yeah.
Yeah. When you're sad, I'm like, I want to write this and tell my ex-girlfriend what he did wrong. Ex-boyfriend, like, you know, like Taylor
Swift. But sometimes they have to, like, you know, get the music, all the music that they need for an album, like in a certain time period. So that's very difficult because it's making them be creative when maybe they're not creative at that moment. Does that make sense?
No, I was just saying that, like, a lot of time, like, if an artist, it used to, now I think a little bit different. It used to, like label would just send artists to a recording studio for two weeks.
No, they still do that.
They can't leave the studio.
Well, my niece, yes, sometimes she has to just stay in her hotel room for a month until she comes up with something. Well, because she has a contract, she has to make a certain amount of music for a certain amount of time.
And then they can be they can focus.
How many albums has she sold? Let me see. Flow and the Machine.
Florence and the Machine.
Florence and the Machine, Wikipedia. Let's see. So, they've been around since 2007, consisting of vocalist Florence Welch. Mm-hmm. Boy, they've been around for a long time. It doesn't say how many albums
she has been around for a long time. Yeah. It's only her.
She. Florence. Well, no, the Machine.
Well, no, well, that's whoever's.
Has the Machine remained the same?
Around.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Paul McCartney said that when he and Lennon were writing, they actually never had they were never stuck. Every time they got together, they never ended it saying, oh man, that wasn't so good, that session, we got nothing. They always had a song. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great because they're all so talented. So,
yes,
they
never
had writer's
block.
But when you're by yourself, it's hard. You know, you don't have that
energy.
Also, maybe they were microdosing.
Maybe.
gosh.
You know, a lot of people don't know this, you know? But so the Rolling Stones manager, who I guess was the same as the Beatles manager, told Mick, you know, normally they were a cover band. So the Rolling Stones just covered like the Chicago, they covered a lot of Chicago blues music. And then their manager told him, look, you got to be like the Beatles. Lennon and McCartney are writing all their songs now. So, you know, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards were going to try to be like Lennon and McCartney. And they sat down, they couldn't write a song. So they started walking around outside, and who they run into but John Lennon and Paul McCartney. And they explained they were having trouble writing a song. So Lennon and McCartney said, well, let's go up to your apartment and we'll all hang out. And then Lennon and McCartney helped them write their first song, their first written song. And I forgot what the name of that song was. If someone on Twitter wants to tweet it out and tell me. But they're the first kind of their first attempt at being creative, writing their own songs. Their song was actually written by Lennon and McCartney.
And then I thought Beatles sang it too.
I don't know about that. I know it became a hit for the Rolling Stones, but I don't know if the Beatles also sang it. All right, so I think I got 9 out of 10. Robin, you got four or five of them.
Oh,
yeah, you got a bunch.
Great.
And
I have backups if you guys still want to do it.
Let's do the backups. Let's see.
11 to 13. I don't think you guys can get the 14.
Well, we'll try it.
So, all right. Let's do the 11. Let's go. Let's play. Yesterday. This is really easy.
I think.
Okay, wait. Don't guess. Don't guess yet.
All right. Play one more time.
Yeah.
Yesterday. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, guys can guess.
So.
Robin, you can guess.
Well, but wasn't it in there?
Yeah, Jay, you made that one too easy.
Yeah.
That's no way for me to cut 3 seconds. We don't, it is in there.
Okay, but let me just say, I only listened to, because we're each listening to it on our computers, I only listened to 1 second of it. So just want to
brag
a little bit.
If it's one, yep. Well, I mean, like, that's no, because it's like, so this song, I mean, you know the song. So if you listen to this song, it's repeating the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
And then they sort of have the same melody over and over. There's no way for me to cut without you knowing.
Yeah.
This is easy.
So this one also came in to McCartney in a Dream, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And 2,200 different bands have made covers of this song.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
I tried to cover this song as well. This is a great song to cover.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, very, very sing-along type of song. It's not anthem. It's not like anthem-ish, but it's still like able to sing along to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because my dad used to, because he used to write music. His music would come, I remember, he would wake up in the middle of the night. He didn't know how to play an instrument, so he'd hum it into a tape recorder. But it was mostly at night. That's interesting.
It is. I think James and I talk about this where, like, if you're a writer, I felt like the creativity come to you in the morning. Mm-hmm. But for music, it's come at night.
I definitely write my best, like, writing in the morning.
Yeah. When I was writing music, you know, back then, I tried to write in the morning. Nothing come to me. But at night, like, everything comes to me. It's weird. It almost felt like I have to been through the experience of that day, and then I'll be able to write it after.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know strange. My dad would be you could tell when he was getting ready to write something because he would be really just annoyed about everything. And he was just always in a bad mood. And then all of a sudden a song would come out of that. And then it would just be nice until the next time.
Because I felt like music is more about the emotions that you've been through the
right.
day. You know?
Now, here's something interesting. So Lennon, this is what I was saying before, how Lennon and McCartney used to always, after the band broke up, they were always bicker about who was the better writer, who was more talented. So John Lennon wrote this song in 1971 on the Imagine album called How Do You Sleep? And in the song, he says, the only thing you've done was yesterday, but since you've gone, you're just another day, which, you know, there was McCartney hit called Another Day. So
right.
I think they just did not get along then at that point.
Yeah, I mean, all because of Yoko Ono, right?
No, I think actually because they were suing each other over they had different lawsuits going on against their manager about the how much money they were getting. Now, yeah, I think everybody kind of historically has blamed it on Yoko Ono, but
why?
I don't really think it was Yoko Ono's fault that the Beatles broke up.
I wonder why they blamed it on her.
I mean, from all the documentary, like like you see Paul McCartney or whoever that say like, oh yeah, it's Yoko that, I think she just changed how John Lennon was behaving or stuff like that. I don't know. It's all, you know, all in the 60s. I wasn't even born.
You know, they were still like in their 20s or something. Like they were young mm-hmm. people, and they've spent 10 years, you know, traveling the world together, spending so much time together, you know, mm-hmm. all day long, every day for years. So I think they were too young to really absorb that. Like they probably just, you know, had a normal 20-ish age relationship, which can't last forever.
Was Lennon the first one to, you know, have a serious girlfriend or a wife?
No, I think well, Lennon, you know, wasn't married to Yoko Ono when in the first part half of the Beatles. He was married to someone else. You know, they all were married pretty early on. They all were married, and I think none of those marriages last.
That's why Hey Jude is, you know, tribute to Paul McCartney's son, right? Is that?
John Lennon's son.
John Lennon's son, yeah.
Yeah, from his first marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I forgot.
So he has two sons? Lennon has two sons?
Sean and Julian Lennon. And then I forgot which one of the first wives left the Beatle. It might have been Ringo Starr's wife left him for Eric Clapton, or I forget. I could be getting the story totally wrong. So I don't know. I don't really know that much, actually.
This is some real good juice.
It's called a James Outage juicy call. Show.
Yeah. I'm gossiping about the Beatles.
In the 60s, 70s.
Yoko's still alive, right?
Yep. Yeah, Yoko's still alive.
She lives close to me, so.
Really? Oh, she lives in the Dakota, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The haunted apartment.
She
still lives there. That's where they lived when he got shot. The same apartment.
Yeah.
She still lives there.
I think, yep. It's definitely the same building. But let's go to number 12.
Number 12.
Okay. Because I think this tied to number 12.
Okay.
This play.
Okay. Okay, I know that one.
You know that? All right. Let's chill for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play one more time.
Okay.
All right, let's give a couple seconds.
Okay, Robin, you can get it.
All right.
First.
Robin,
Strawberry Fields.
Yep.
Strawberry Fields Forever.
Well. Yeah. Yeah, because that tie into it because the strawberry field
it's across the way.
It's in Central Park across from Dakota was tribute to mm-hmm. John Lennon, right?
No, well he died after the Beatles, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying the part of Central Park like across mm-hmm. the street from the Dakota is now yep. named Strawberry Fields?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I see.
All right. Yeah. You guys ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Pretty.
Okay.
Is this what number 13?
Yeah.
Number 13.
Okay.
Let's play.
Okay.
I know that one.
All right. Let's chill for a second. All right. Okay.
I almost didn't know. Only the final second of the three.
Let's play one more time.
Okay.
All right. Give it a couple seconds. All right, Robin goes. I know you know this one.
Yellow Submarine.
Yep.
Yay!
Now,
yeah, and
I feel like that when I was a kid, this was the most famous one that I knew.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. For some reason, too. Maybe because they made a movie about this one too. I think, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Did they?
Yeah.
Something.
Oh wow! I think I know about this because of the album. Because the. Isn't the album called Yellow Submarine?
Yeah. The album, mm-hmm. the movie, and the cover's famous. It was all Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, and the cover is like famous. The cover for the album is famous because it's so bright and vibrant.
Yeah,
too.
It was cool.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's a lot of argument about what Yellow Submarine means. So I'll let people. I have no idea what it means.
Wait, what? Why? It's just the submarine that's painted yellow. No,
but it was definitely like a drug influenced meaning. So, but who knows?
I mean, it's in the 60s, 70s. So
yeah, and I don't know. When I was a kid, like this is the song. Maybe this is the most kid like for some reason. Like maybe the chords are the simplest. I don't know, but I remember this is a song also, that my friends and I would sing.
You can march to. It's easy. Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess when they were touring about with this album, This is when Lennon said that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus, and that was
really
the last time they toured, because they got so much negative backlash on that they decided not to tour again.
All right, the last one. I don't know if you guys can get it. I definitely can get it, this one.
Okay.
All right, tell us 14 B.
Play it.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
All right, let's go.
Oh, I know this one.
But, oh, you know this one?
I'm not going to say it.
Let's play one more time.
Okay.
Right. You get it, Robin?
Well, I know the song, but…
You just know the song? You just know the title?
I just don't know the title.
All right, James. You can go.
The title's either Revolution or You Say You Want a Revolution.
Oh, I thought it was just Revolution.
So it's probably just Revolution. Yeah, this was never a favorite of mine, but it was a very popular one.
Yeah.
All right, well… Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah, this… did we do 14 or is that…
We did 14.
That was 14, yep.
All right, wow. Well, for James, our listeners, how many did you, tweet out how many you got? And if you like this type of thing, we'll do more of these. And I'll do a little bit more research on the songs. No, I didn't know the songs in advance. So, Jay, you're going to have to do the research.
Well, I did some research.
Yeah, you did.
I told you about Abbey Road.
All these songs.
Yeah. Well, even though I was born maybe like 20, 30 years after…
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a question I have, and there's no real answer, but I have this question for everyone out there listening to this. If let's take a song like Yesterday. If Yesterday came out today, would it be popular?
It's funny because
it depends on who sings it.
Let's say if it's exactly the way it is right now, like and but nobody knows it's the Beatles. So well, this is what the movie Yesterday was about.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious, like, if the Beatles music came out today in general, like, so pick a different one, like, Let It Be or Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Like, if one of these songs came out, or Yellow Submarine, if one of these songs came out today or any of these songs came out, would they be popular songs? Or if a band, now the movie Yesterday claims that they would be, but I'm not so sure because…
Yeah,
it doesn't really sound like pop music, and pop music is like enormously popular.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe with a different rhythm, maybe.
I would say like if they change it a different arrangement, then maybe. But I think it would still popular because it's so different, and everyone wants different type of thing. Like when Lady Gaga first came out, like it has a different sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this has kind of a folksy sound. Like it's not using, all the instruments that pop music uses, and it's not auto-tuning, it's not looping, it's not sampling.
I don't think
it
would if it was just…
Although I asked our kids. I mean, I asked Sarah, for instance, and Lily.
That's because they all like the Beatles.
Yeah, they said it would be popular if it came out today.
I can see Eleanor Rigby being popular.
Yeah, but I kind of could see, like, Hey Jude, I could see all of them.
Yeah, I hate Jude if Adele sings it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
that's what Adele's strong suit are. Just piano and Adele. That song.
Or flow.
Okay, like related to this, if someone's saying like Michael Jackson's song ABC, I feel like if that came out today, it would be popular.
Well, I think it will still because it's I don't know. I feel like the music nowadays is a little bit more complicated. But the thing is, if without music like that back then, that's no music like we are listening to right now, because a lot of music was influenced by Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones.
Just rearranging messing with the tempo and the beat. I think
the chord structure that sometimes Brito uses is very 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 different. But anyway, yeah, I think that was fun.
But we
enjoy listening to that 3 seconds of music.
You had more than three because you got a couple of the last ones.
Well, we could do Michael Jackson.
Or
Pat Benatar or…
Who is Pat Benatar?
Yeah, let's not do Pat Benatar.
Michael Jackson makes sense because I think Michael Jackson is probably the only one that outsold Beatles.
Bands right now sell lots of albums. Like what's… let me just see. What are the top selling albums of all time? Let's see.
I thought you said Led Zeppelin or something like that.
I
think they're famous, but I don't think they sold that much.
Well, okay, in terms of individual albums, Michael Jackson's Thriller at 48.9 million is the top-selling album of all time. Yep. And the Beatles are not even in the top 10.
Really?
Not anymore.
Yeah, the Beatles...
So who's the top 10?
So the top 10 are Michael Jackson with Thriller, AC/DC with Back in Black, Whitney Houston with The Bodyguard, Meat Loaf with Bad Outta Hell, Eagles with Their Greatest Hits, Pink Floyd, The Dark Side of the Moon, Eagles, Hotel California, Bee Gees, Saturday Night Fever, Fleetwood Mac, Rumors, Shania Twain. I don't know how to say her
Shania
name.
Shania Twain, yeah.
Yeah, Come On Over. And The Beatles is on the next list with Abbey Road. Oh, no. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band sold 18.2 million. And so The Beatles appear, a lot of their albums appear here. Abbey Road sold 14.4.
When was the data?
It's on Wikipedia.
Yeah, but so did they say when's the data?
It must be accurate.
Oh, I don't know.
Because Apple Insider gave a different data.
Well, this is not best-selling groups. This is best-selling albums.
Yeah, top 50 50 best-selling albums. And then Beatles is number 5, apparently.
With what?
The Beatles. The White Album.
What album?
The White Album, it says.
Oh, interesting. Well, okay, in terms of musical groups, so this is Wikipedia again, the Beatles are the most popular group with 600 million album sales. And after that is Elvis Presley with 500 million. Then Michael Jackson with 400 million. Then Elton John, Madonna, Led Zeppelin, Rihanna, which surprises me, and Pink Floyd. Rihanna and Pink Floyd are tied at 250 million.
Hey, Rihanna is legend.
She is. And then I guess the top-selling rapper is next, which is Eminem, who has 220 million album sales.
Yeah, which the Gen Z or Zoomer is trying to cancel.
Oh, Eminem?
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, you know, there's a billion rappers before Eminem that you should try to cancel. It's so ridiculous to cancel Eminem.
And the song they tried to cancel is Love the Way You Lie.
What? Why? What's the... Well, don't say it on the podcast if it's... I don't want the podcast to be canceled.
Oh, shit. Yeah, well, it's just because like the lyrics have like abuse behavior or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's abuse on almost every rapper album is abuse towards women. Yeah. So, but people, you know, I'm not saying I love rap music, but that's just what's in their rap, a lot of rap albums. Yeah. By the way, the Rolling Stones that coming in at 200 million is like barely in the top 20. Celine Dion is more than the Rolling Stones.
What about Kanye? I love him.
Kanye West is in the next list with 160 million.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Celine his Dion music. Makes sense. He's like, brilliant.
Yeah. Celine Dion makes sense. Like just the music from Titanic, how much did that sold?
Oh, she was Titanic?
She sang that?
She sang it. Yeah, My Heart Would Go On. Do you guys not know this?
I know the song. I know the movie, but I didn't know I was never a big fan of hers. So.
Yeah.
She sang it. Yeah.
I love the movie.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So again, let us know if you want us to do more stuff like this. We love doing it. And Robin, good job.
Yes.
Maybe there's
maybe
some
study
other groups.
More.
Maybe there's groups you'll know better. Well, the Beatles, maybe I just know better than you. I'm sure there's groups you
know, like a lot of things Pat better Benatar, than me.
Which we're not gonna if we did Pat Benatar, which we're not gonna do, you'd score much higher than me on that.
Who is Pat Benatar? I don't even know who that is.
She's like an 80s singer, like
Benatar.
Solo singer.
Oh
yeah. She was good. She was my favorite.
I confuse her. This is going to be blasphemy, but I confuse her with Janis Joplin.
I thought you were going to say Joan Jett.
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry. Joan Jett. I confuse her with Joan Jett.
I like Joan
And I
Jett
confuse
too.
Janis Joplin's name with Joan Jett's name.
Who are all these people?
It's okay, Jay.
All the
it's
lonely people.
It's just an American pop culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I will see you guys later. Good, all right. Good
Bye.
Stuff.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends.
Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.